The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 19, 1989 in Atlanta, Georgia. The initiation lecture was given on Nrisimha Chaturdasi.
Shringha Deva. Nara means man, Shringha means lion. The half man, half lion, incarnation of Godhead. So, well, this is a form that many may not know about or be able to understand. Overtly a frightful form of the Lord. The story centers around this little boy standing on the right, Prahlad Maharaj, who was a student of Narada Muni, the great devotee guru. He appeared as a son of Hiranyakashipu, demon king, who had performed great austerities in order to become immortal. He prayed to one of the demigods, Lord Brahma, for a boon to become immortal after doing tremendous austerities, which inconceivable. The great austerities he performed. But Lord Brahma said that except for the Supreme Lord, there's no one who is eternal. I'm not eternal. The Supreme Lord and his eternal associates. So I cannot give you this immortality. Of course, Hiranyakashipu didn't believe in any Supreme Lord. He wanted to himself become supreme. So then he made a plan that I'll never be killed. If I can't be immortal, at least I can be indestructible. So he got a boon that he couldn't be killed during the day, during the night, on the land, in the water, on the in the air, that couldn't be killed by an animal, a beast, or by a celestial entity from other planets. Couldn't be killed during the day or the night. I might have missed a few. Like everything he could think of, how he couldn't be killed. Here it is. Grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence, during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought by any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Grant me that I may not meet death from any entity living or non-living. Grant me that I may not be killed by any demigod or demon or by any great snake from the lower planets. Grant me I may have no rival. Give me sole lordship over all living entities and presiding deities. Give me all the glories obtained by that position. Furthermore, give me all the mystic powers attained by long austerities and practice of yoga. So he got all these different benedictions. And therefore, as soon as he got them, he said, now I'm in power. He started terrorizing everybody. He started to terrorize. He just brought everyone under his control in the whole universe. Of course, happened millions of years ago. He brought everyone under his control and in this way, all the planets were, he just, whatever the normal law, he changed it any way he wanted to. So, there was a big disturbance in the universe. But he had, so this way he was like, fearless, indestructible. And his only son, he wasn't very impressed by all his power. Because he knew all this power is coming from Krishna. So whenever he talked to his son, he'd say, how do you like all of my power, everything, I want to give it all to you. He said, yes, it's very nice, but this power, of course, is just coming from the Supreme Lord. He said, what is the Supreme Lord? There's no one else but me. I am the top. I am the highest. There's no God. Forget this. But Prahlad was a devotee at heart. He knew there was a God, Supreme Lord. And so he would always preach this fact. So his father, he decided that this son of mine is actually my enemy. Because he's not accepting that I'm God. So either he accepts or I'm going to have to kill him. So I gave him another chance, but it didn't work. So he didn't want to just openly kill him because it wouldn't look so good if a father kills his son. So he told his soldier to kill him so it appears like an accident. Throw him off a cliff. So then they threw him off a cliff. But then midair, he was chanting Hare Krishna. Then midair, Krishna caught him and just sent him down. So they go in the bottom to see the splat. Nothing. He's sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So then they came another plan. All right, throw him in a pit of snakes. He'll just like fall in, no one will know. And he'll be eaten by the snake. He fell right in. They threw him in a pit of poisonous snakes. All the snakes are crawling over him, but because Krishna's in everyone's heart, no snake bit him. That didn't work. So then he thought, okay, let him be crushed by some mad elephants. But the elephant just held that, didn't crush him. So then he thought, well, throw him in the dungeon, just let the demons torture him and kill him. Some really nice pictures. I don't know if Jadarani painted some of these. They're torturing him. But he wasn't affected. He kept chanting. The weapons would go in, come out, he'd immediately be healed again. So then he thought, well, let me try. I can't kill him. Let me try to educate him. Give him a materialistic education and convert him to become a demon. So he sent him to school and told the teachers, you make him forget everything about God and make him just a good materialist. So they gave him all education in this way, but in a recess time, he'd preach to all the students. But why are you wasting your time like this? A human life is so valuable. If you just waste your time after material pursuit, it's all going to be destroyed in the end. All your girlfriends, boyfriends, all your everything, all the material buildings, money, wealth, whatever there is, it's going to be finished in due course. So there's no use of simply putting all your hopes in these things, because they're going to be destroyed. Better to utilize your time to become God conscious. This is the real happiness of life. You chant the names of Krishna, then you can feel the transcendental happiness. And this way he preached to all of them, not to be infatuated by the materialism. And so they all started to chant Hare Krishna and they became devotees. The teachers came in and found him doing this, reported to his father. So then the father, he said, this child is a thorn in the whole dynasty. The whole dynasty of progressive people who are not attached to all this sentimentality and things, superstitiousness, a dynasty of atheists. He's come to just pollute everyone with this nonsense. So then he thought, I'll personally kill my son. No one else could do it, so I'll do it. You can imagine, I was explaining this morning, that in America, if he had a father who was trying to torture his son in different ways, trying to kill, then finally, you know, he decided he's going to cut off his head personally. And the police get the notice at the last minute. They wouldn't be surprised at all if they bust the FBI, whoever it is, bust through the door, you know, save the boy. So, but here, there's no FBI, there's no one else to save him. But who's going to save Prahlad? His father is now personally decided, I'm going to kill him. So he calls and he explained, this is a verse, that when Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake, trampled upon by someone's foot. His son, Prahlad, was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control. He stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet with staring crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Sri Hiranyakashipu uvacha, he durvinita mandatman kulaveda karadhama stabdhanga machasano dritam neshedvadya jamakshoyam. O most imprudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. My son, Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble along with their chief rulers. But whose power has a rascal, by whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Na kevalam me bhavatas charachan, savaivalam balinam cha paresham, parevaresmi, stirajangamaje, brahmadhayo jainavasang pranita. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, But the only strength for everyone, without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went on to explain that the Lord creates, maintains, annihilates all of the cosmos. He's the best of all living entities. He explained, "My dear father, please give up your demonic mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised towards everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly." Then, giving so many nice instructions or advices to his father, Hiranyakashipu became more angry. He said, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value, as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die." Prabhupada explains that in the Hitopadesha, Upadesho hi morkhanam prokopaya nasantaye, it is said that if good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them but becomes more and more angry. Prahlad Maharaj authorized instructions given to his father were not accepted by Hiranyakashipu as truth. Instead, Hiranyakashipu became increasingly angry at his son, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. This kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu, who are interested in money and women. The word Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to cushions or good bedding. Moreover, a father does not like to be instructed by his son, especially if the father is a demon. So, explain that he's being called Sri Hiranyakashipu. Sri is an auspicious word because he's about to achieve salvation. So he said, "Oh, most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipful God come to protect you. I want to see it." Demons always think that God is fictitious. They think it's an illusion, an opiate of the people. So Hiranyakashipu, he didn't believe that there's any God. So then explained that being very obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu was very great in bodily strength, chastised his devotee son Prahlad. He had asked Prahlad earlier, that "Is your God here everywhere? Yes. Is he in this pillar? Yes." So that's why he said, "Let me see." Then Hiranyakashipu went and just smashed the pillar, broke it down with his powerful bodily strength. Cursing his son again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against a column. Then from within the column came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. "Oh my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, 'Oh, now our planets are being destroyed.'" Sometimes we hear a thunderbolt, we think our house is going to be just struck and destroyed. The sound, when Hiranyakashipu broke that pillar, was so great that it covered the entire universe. Everyone, from the top to bottom, all the planets could hear this vibration like a huge thunder. Just roaring. So when Hiranyakashipu heard the sound, which he had never heard before, no one had ever heard before, even the other demons became afraid. "What is that sound? Where is it coming from? What does it mean?" No one could see the origin of that sound. They could just hear the sound vibrating, everything shaking like an earthquake. So explain, "Satyang vidatung nijabartya bhashitam vyaptin cha bhute shakileshu chatmanaha adrishyata tyabhuta rupa udvahan stambhe sabhayam namrigam namanusham." To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. So Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly said, "Yes, my Lord is present in the pillar, he's everywhere." But Hiranyakashipu said, "All right, we're going to see. Let him come if he's present. No, I'm going to challenge him and then I'm going to kill you and show you there's no other God but me." And he smashed the column and out came Lord Narasimha Deva. The Lord in Bhagavad Gita explained his devotee is never perished, never vanquished. So by appearing from the pillar, then Nrsimhadeva was telling his devotee, don't worry, I am present here. Lord also preserved Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. He appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. So while Hiranyakashipu looked around to see where that sound was coming from, then suddenly he saw this wonderful form of the Lord, half lion, half man. Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? He wanted to outsmart God. He couldn't be killed. But no one can outthink or outsmart the Lord. It's because he thought that there was no one that could punish him. He could do anything. He could even torture a little baby, a little child, whose only fault was that he would tell people that there's a God, there's a Supreme Lord and people should love him. So explains the beautiful form of the Lord. His angry eyes resembled molten gold, his shining mane which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, his razor-sharp tongue, his eyes were erect and motionless, his nostrils and gaping mouth appears like caves of a mountain, his jaws parted fearfully, his entire body touched the sky, his neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon, his arms which resembled flanks of soldiers spread in all directions. As he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. By the way, anyone that gets killed by God, they get immediate salvation. So it's not, they get purified from all their sin, because if he kills them, then they're pure, and their self goes back to Godhead. So they at least go into the Brahmajyoti, or the impersonal effulgence. So then Hiranyakashipu, he thought that this is Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power. He's made a plan to kill me. But he can never kill me. He took Vishnu to be just like some other entity. Who can fight with me? So he thought that, and he started to attack the Lord, trying to attack him with his club. But the Lord was giving out so much effulgence that when Hiranyakashipu went to attack him, he became invisible. You couldn't see him because of so much effulgence coming. So the Lord let him, boom, boom, beat him with his club. It had no effect. And after a while, he just decided, all right, enough of this. He just picked him up, just grabbed him like Garuda, the great bird, would catch a snake. But then Lord Nrsimhadeva let him slip from his hand. And then all the demigods who were watching, all the higher celestial beings, they thought, finally this demon's going to be finished. We'll be free from this curse. And he said, oh no, he escaped. Then they all doubted the Lord. They thought, oh, even he can't get him. So Hiranyakashipu relaxed for a second. What to do? Then he picked up his sword this time. I'll get him with a sword. The club didn't work, so let me try the sword. Then he attacked him with his sword and shield. Then Lord Nrsimhadeva, he's made a long, shrill sound of laughter, seeing the attempt at Hiranyakashipu trying to attack him. Hiranyakashipu was covering himself with the sword, making all moves, the shield, not allowing any gaps to be open. But then he's moving in the sky, on the earth. But the Lord's laughter is making him so afraid. This loud, shrill laughter of the Lord, he closes his eyes in fear while he's protecting himself. Finally then the Lord just grabs him with his hand again, without any difficulty. And even though he's moving around, he's just captured like one has a little bug in their hand. And then Lord Nrsimhadeva walks to the doorway, placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. In the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Purport, Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die in the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of the Lord intact, Nrsimhadeva placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which is neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. In other words, just twilight. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrsimhadeva pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons, and were neither living nor dead. The nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrsimhadeva paradoxically, but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. So, the Lord generally doesn't get so angry, but there's a limit even to the Lord's tolerance. When one of his devotees is just tortured so much, and when he's just challenged so directly, that he decided to just personally react to this challenge. Normally, requires a very great devotee for the Lord to do such a thing. But because Prahlad was such a pure devotee, the Lord personally came. Actually, all have to die sooner or later. And this demon, he was creating so many troubles for the whole universe, and especially for an innocent boy. He's about to just murder this innocent boy. So the Lord, who is the supreme authority and protector, especially of his devotees, he personally intervened. And since that this was the only way he could be killed, he took this specific form. Because there was no other way that he could be killed, since he had got some special boon from Lord Brahma. So, of course, later the Lord calmed down and he was worshipped by Prahlad and all the demigods. Then he became a little peaceful after some time. But just at that moment he was so angry that this person who got so many boons, he could do so much good. Instead, he was simply creating trouble. And he was torturing the small boy, Prahlad. So the devotees see that actually the Lord is very fair and he's a protector to his devotee. Actually, when innocent people are tortured, they need to be protected by someone. Normally the government is supposed to protect. But here Hiranyakashipu himself was the king. There was no other government. And Prahlad had no one else to protect him but the Lord. So then the Lord personally came. So that's why, especially at sunset, it's a very auspicious moment. We're planning to have a fire sacrifice at that time so that to celebrate Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance. The devotees pray every day to Nrisimhadeva for the protection of the Krishna conscious movement, the preachers, the spiritual master. Said that Lord Nrisimhadeva is so powerful, ferocious, that any inauspicious elements are destroyed. In fact, some people, if they have bad dreams at night, if they just sleep with a picture of Nrisimhadeva at their head, they get no more bad dreams, no more disturbances at night. Whatever evil influence, they stay away from Nrisimhadeva. In fact, even in India, you find that people like fishermen who go out in the deep seas, they also know Nrisimha mantras for protection. Even though they're not, say, even pure vegetarian, but they know Nrisimhadeva mantra, they chant for protection. Whoever surrenders to Nrisimhadeva, who's everywhere, then they can be protected. But whoever challenges the power of Nrisimhadeva or the Supreme Lord, then what hope is there for them? So you find there are different forms of the Lord. There's a Nrisimhadeva form, which is very ferocious, at the same time very protective of his devotees. Then you have the loving form, like Radha, Madan, Mohana, who are on the right. The loving form, the Lord in his original form. Actually, Krishna's original form is like this loving. He doesn't need to carry any weapons. If he comes for protecting, or he has other forms he takes. But his original form is simply for having loving exchanges. So he's playing on a flute, he's dancing with his eternal consort, his pleasure potency, Radharani. And his Araswarya form on the left, Jagannath, he shows all opulence. He's offered in Jagannath 56 offerings a day. Very opulent. Different forms are there, golden form, lotus form. He also says that today he has a special form, Narasimha form. It's called Narasimha Vesha. So this is called the opulent form of the Lord, where he's worshipped like an opulent king with all jewels and opulence. Radha Krishna offered with flowers and music. Then in the center is Nitai Gaura Chandra. They're the merciful form. They don't have any weapons. Lord Jagannath has a Sudarshan Chakra. He's prepared to protect, although he's also very merciful. But Nitai Gaur, they're simply giving out mercy to everyone. You see, when they appeared, they would destroy the demoniac nature of a person but leave their godly nature. They wouldn't kill anyone. In this age of Kali, you see, in that age there was one demon, a few friends he had with him. But you see, one powerful demon with a few associates. But say, in age of Kali, everyone has both in them demoniac and good influences, godly and demoniac. The same person may one time think, let me give charity, let me do kind things. Next moment he may be angry, may be greedy, may be lusty, may do things which are demoniac. So Lord Chaitanya, if he had to kill everyone who had a demoniac nature, then we'd all be killed. Because within us, everyone has 1 or 10 or 100, some percent of demoniac nature. And some percent of good nature. So instead, Lord Chaitanya, by his love, by the weapon of love, by weapon of chanting Hare Krishna, he would cleanse the heart from the demoniac nature, leaving the people peaceful, calm, loving, gentle. So, because in this age we require that mercy. But we, on this day, we worship the form of the Lord who appeared in the Satya Yuga long ago. in a previous age, in another time. And so that's basically what we're observing today. We can take a special opportunity today on this, a very auspicious day, to overcome all obstacles. If we pray Nrisimha Dev, if there's any obstacle in our devotional service, we could pray to him to help us remove that obstacle in a nice way, and let us become fixed up in a nice Krishna conscious. We can also pray to Lord Chaitanya, who Nrisimha Dev is within him. All the avatars or incarnations of God are within Lord Chaitanya, to give us that mercy, not only to get the obstacles removed from our practice of Krishna consciousness, but to be established in that ecstatic, loving, devotional service. If we get a taste of pure bhakti, taste of pure love, then naturally we become immunized. Just like a vaccine, we become immunized from all type of material disturbances and agitation. We become fixed in pure devotion. We become so filled with happiness, that spiritual happiness, that material things don't disturb anymore. We can be very equipoised, very, like Prahlad, so many difficulties, threatened, he's very peaceful, because he's in a complete state of ecstatic spiritual consciousness. So we hope everyone can achieve that ecstatic spiritual consciousness and get the blessings of the Lord today. Now, today, we are having the initiation ceremony, which is where the guru and the disciple relationship is formally before the Lord, before the fire, before Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas and guests, is vows are taken. And that relationship is established in a formal way. It's already been there, but now it's formally and irrevocably contract is made. No one should revoke that. Unless someone voluntarily revokes it, it won't be ever revoked. It'll be there perpetually. So, it also, some obligations are there. The guru's obligation is to train and guide the disciple back to Godhead. The disciple's obligations are to especially follow the chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds minimum per day, observing four regular principles which increase our demoniac nature if we don't control those or avoid them. So this is a kind of very joyful situation, because someone who takes these vows and who takes this commitment, they're guaranteed, if they follow their whole life, to go back to the spiritual world after this lifetime, to not have to return again to the cycle of birth and death in conditioned life. It's also a type of declaration of war, in a sense, against Maya. That one is to follow these principles is not easy. It requires a serious commitment. In spiritual life, whether one is in a male body, a female body, anyone can achieve complete perfection. Body is not a limitation. If one is serious and concentrates on following the instructions of Guru and Krishna, they can overcome these obstacles. And today is an auspicious day, so we hope that all the obstacles in the path of the candidates for initiation will be dissipated, and they can be fixed in pure devotional service. Of course, they should avoid the 10 offenses to the holy names. Anyone here knows the 10 offenses? Anyone knows the first offense? Can't hear you. To blaspheme the devotees that dedicate their lives. Second offense? Third offense? Fourth offense? Fifth offense? Can't hear you, speak up. Consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as an imagination. Sixth offense? Anyone knows the sixth? Seventh offense? That means, like, if we chant Hare Krishna, that can get rid of bad karma. But if someone thinks, let me commit some bad karmas, commit problems to other people, later I'll just chant Hare Krishna and wipe it away. It doesn't work that way. Then that we can't outsmart the holy name, which is not different from Krishna. Just like you couldn't, like Hiranyakashipu, we couldn't outsmart Krishna. Similarly, we can't do that. So we have to be very careful about this offense. We have to be sincere. You may have a problem if we're sincere about it, we can overcome it. But if we try to be like devious, then that's very difficult. Eighth offense. This means that chanting Hare Krishna is transcendental. There are many pious activities like offering charity to poor people, building hospitals. I don't know if that's even a pious activity, but say intention is pious, to help suffering people. Digging wells, planting trees on the side of roads, so many pious activities are there. But those are good karma. Good karma brings good result. But chanting Hare Krishna is beyond good and bad. It's transcendental. So we try to bring it down to some mundane level. Even a mundane good level is an offense. Because Hare Krishna is beyond, it's an absolute good. It's beyond mundane goodness. And ninth offense, anyone knows? To preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. The Lord's glory is so great that if you preach too much to someone who doesn't want to hear, you may think, wow, you people are just imagining, or I don't believe it. So we don't get into too much detail unless the person's actually shows able to digest it. Then the tenth offense is? Not to have complete faith, even after hearing so many glories of the holy name, and to maintain material attachments and be inattentive at chanting. So, these are the 10 offenses. You should also avoid these 10 offenses. Avoid committing them. Offenseless chanting brings transcendental love, joy in the heart, Krishna prema. So, these are the... Of course, taking this, we require that certain tests are taken, and some waiting period is there. Then if someone really wants to take it after over a year of waiting, then they decide, yes, I want to take initiation and take these vows. But it's totally voluntary. If somebody here feels that actually, second thought, they don't want to actually take these serious vows now, maybe later, or think about it. No pressure or anything, no embarrassment. You can just get up and sit back there, no problem. Someone can help them tie the neck beads on their neck. Also today we have one Brahman initiation. You have a thread on your plate there. Brahman initiation or second initiation is where Gayatri mantra is given. You don't need new neck beads. We'll give the initiation and have a fire sacrifice for Narsingadeva, and then we'll have the feast for Sada. After one will be held more responsible for any transgression. Of course, one's anyway responsible, but it's like even more responsible because a Brahman is supposed to know better, supposed to be more experienced, supposed to teach by example. So they get a double, or I don't know double, but they get more, maybe even more than double, but they get more reaction if they are careless. So therefore we're a bit careful about taking the second initiation. It's not necessary to have it, to go back to Godhead. By chanting Hare Krishna under the guidance of a guru, one can go back to Godhead. But taking the second initiation, if one is careful and very serious in their practice, it can help. It's able to, an aid to concentrate the mind and become more conscious of Krishna in a controlled mental speculation. So we have bhakti and caroling. You come up and then pay your obeisances. They said already the purification. Say them out loud. What are the four regular principles you're going to follow the prompt practice?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxicants.
There you go. How many times Hare Krishna?
16 rounds a day.
Minimum.
Minimum.
All the beads the same size? One big, little. Anyone want small? Tulsi from Vrindavan. So, your name is the name of one of Radharani's direct associates. It means, its literal meaning, apart from the fact it's the name of one of her associates, one of the principal 108 gopis. It means one who's, that you're the servant of someone who, of the person who's enriched or endowed with artistic, cultural, dramatic qualities. Your name is Kalavati Devi Dasi. Yeah.